Starting with the Star Spangled Banner is not going to be the way to go because it's too difficult. The range is like this and the skips and the jumps.
So you don't want to go full Roseanne Barr or anything like that, you know.
Isn't it also funny that like people always make fun of people when they can't do the national anthem well, like when like singers don't do it well, and it's like don't do that. Like I'd like to hear you sing it because it is a difficult song to
write. It's so hard to sing. It's so hard to sing, and you have to do it a cappella without changing keys or modulating to a different key. And
are we recording?
What?
We recording? Yeah, all right. I knew it. I had a sense that But okay, well, before we go further, I'll jump in for a quick intro. Well, hello, this is Pat Lynch, and you are listening. You're already listening and watching the Career Pathways podcast. Today, joining us is one of our new faculty members, Bethany Neese, live from California.
Yes, big journey east, 2,000 miles.
And we're going to get to that. And also joining us behind the board, making the magic happen, he's just recovered from a 12-hour podcast marathon this Saturday, is producer Jason. Yes.
It was a 15-hour day total on the timesheet.
Yes.
Started at 6:30, ended at 9:30.
And the business office is going to send me some emails.
Yeah, they're going to be like, "What in the world?" And you're going to be like, "It was for charity. We raised $5,000.
What were you doing?
Yeah. That was like you hit the goal by 11 o'clock.
We hit the goal by 11 o'clock. Then we doubled it by the end of the stream, and it was a really big success. And I think the Arkansas Association too, like they watched it or they saw the results because they're. They reached out to Hannah at some point, so nice. I don't know. It's kind of exciting because they said they were going to be watching it closely to see how well it goes, to see if it's like this could become kind of maybe like a campus wide thing around Arkansas, and it did pretty well. So I think like maybe making more initiatives like this could be a big
and just with Hannah, Kari, Cheyenne, and you, just what you pulled together, because you know we had one day notice to change venues, and we had to set up a new studio. And and I say we when I wasn't involved, you know. But you did all that, and then the way it was filmed was, you know, and it worked out was fantastic.
It ended up looking really well. YouTube wasn't happy with us for doing 12 hours. They cut off the last like 8 minutes because of like some dumb reason. I recorded it though.
So yeah,
I got the last part where everybody's getting teary and stuff. But got cut out of the live stream. But we're gonna re-upload that like either unlisted or maybe just publicly, whatever we decide to do. But yeah, it was really cool and doing it in such a short time. There was I'm gonna pick a bone, and I'm glad we're talking about this on camera. This campus gets so toxic sometimes. I don't like the toxicity on this campus. Somebody on the Yik Yak, I'm not on it, but Cheyenne came to me and was like, "Babe, somebody was really, really upset about your Jeopardy." And I was like, "Oh, boo-hoo." We did a Jeopardy for the Greek organizations where they had to do, you know, Jeopardy style.
Right.
And it was questions about Lyon College campus. And somebody was like, "What a dumb Jeopardy. It was set up so weird," or something like that. And then like, "And then why didn't they just use a free online one?" And Hannah was like, "There are no free online ones." You know, she's freaking
love it.
Out.
And it's like, no, the sole purpose of the Yak is to dunk on someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a
I've never downloaded the app ever, so like I've stayed away from it, but I hear whispers from
I've been on the plus side of the Yak where I, you know, somebody will say I'm awesome, and then I've been on the downside where it's like Pat Lynch has dementia.
Which one is it today?
And I never know. It's like live by the Yak, die by the Yak.
Yes. It's like a little taste of fame.
Yes. Well, we're incredibly distracted. Bethany, here we are. We'll get back to you. We always start just kind of a general question about, tell us about yourself, kind of like where you're from, you know, kind of how you're academic interests, kind of all the road
the building
that led,
blocks.
Yeah, the road that led you to Lyon College.
Absolutely. I would love to talk about that. So I, like you said, I am from Sonoma County, California, which is the San Francisco Bay Area. It's the North Bay. Sonoma County is about 50 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Were you born in California?
Yes. I was born in Sonoma County.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, so born and raised. Yeah. And I saw it go through its whole transition from a nice little farming place that grew Gravenstein apples and cows and farms everywhere to a touristy, super expensive place to live with wineries and wealth everywhere. And it's beautiful, and there's a lot of good things that come from that. But it did make... It's kind of like thinking about, have you ever heard the expression where there's, if the toad is in the hot water and the water is being turned up, it won't know the water's turned up. It just it won't jump out.
Right.
And it will eventually die. Right. But if the water is boiling and the toad jumps in it, it'll say, what? No way, forget it. And it will jump out. So it being, you know, a teacher in that area for a long time, and the challenges of education in California as well, especially in music, where programs are being cut.
Yeah.
The last 20 years, music programs, librarians, nurses, music programs, or art programs, I should say, in general, have just been cut. I would never think that graduating in my early 20s, with a master's in music and the things I wanted to do, I didn't think I would slowly see those just dissipate in such a cultural place such as San Francisco. You think with the symphony and the opera and and people from all over, you think that California school system would not cater to that. But, you know, the budget, those are always the first to go. But it is... On the positive side, I was educated in Sonoma County.
So, you mean high school?
High school, I did K through 12, and then I did junior college, which was Santa Rosa Junior College.
All right,
which was had a vibrant and wonderful music program.
Right,
and that is really what got me into committing to music in the first place, because I went in as a math major and I was thinking I would be an accountant or something, you know, serious, mathematical. And my father was a math major.
Okay.
My brother graduated UCLA, math major.
Yeah.
And so I was just always pretty good at math. So I just thought, oh, I'll just stick with that. And, I found myself always in the music department, and then I dreaded going to my math classes.
Yeah.
So it became really easy that I needed to switch after the first semester. Wow. Plus, I was flunking calculus. So
that good motivator. Is there something with the mind in terms of how a math major would be drawn to music? Because people think, no, they're like polar opposites, but I don't believe that's the case.
No, and they're not opposite at all. In fact, if you have a mathematical brain, you will be drawn to the theoretical aspects of music. A lot of people, I think that belief is out there because you have math people are very logical and processed, and there's an answer, you know, like English degree is, you know, there isn't one answer, you're writing papers, but in math, there's a way to do it and you have an answer. And so people tend to think that the creativity that you need to be a musician and an artist is not going to be found in a mathematician.
Right.
But I think that could be furthest from the truth because music theory, if you study and know music theory, it is as complex and goes as deep as calculus, math. Yeah. It's patterns. It's based on arithmetic. It's the circle of fifths is the if. Do you know music at all when I say the circle of fifths?
No.
No. Okay. And Jason, do you know when I say, okay,
no. Perfect. I could say
anything.
Piano.
I could say anything right now.
Yeah. I just started learning piano.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Why aren't you in my piano class?
I don't have time. Oh. And I also get into overload credits. I'm at 16 already.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That is a problem. Yeah. That is a problem. But so the circle of fifths is kind of the wheel.
Okay.
And you can look it up and people usually see it. And there's so many symbols on this wheel that it's frightening to even look at. And so, but to somebody who knows music, it's not frightening at all. It makes complete 100% sense. Right. Just like somebody who knows algebra and algebra 2 right. and all the things. My son is a, both my children studied piano mm-hmm. and I forced them to do kindergarten through sixth grade. And I said, after sixth grade, you can quit.
Right.
And so they, you know, complained the whole time. And then after sixth grade, they quit with a vengeance. Oh, well, finally, I don't have to go to piano anymore. And then, mm-hmm. I kid you not, both of them in high school, around 15, around sophomore year, they both asked me for lessons again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, okay. And then they took till the senior year. So they both play piano, but my son is a mechanical engineering.
So the math, you know, and music kind of combined again. That's, mm-hmm. Oh, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yes, yes. And my daughter's very good in math too. Oh. She's studying to be a nurse, which is also, you know, scientific and all that. But she was always really strong in math. She always likes taking the math courses in her music, or in her nursing program.
So as a music major, your instrument, was it voice or did you major in something else?
Yes. So I went to Santa Rosa Junior College mm-hmm. and I got my AA degree yep. in music, but that's it's very broad, but you still kind of pick an aim because there's so much to major in, mm-hmm. In music. Right. It's not just music, even mm-hmm. though your degree says, you know, you have a bachelor's of music or master's of music, but you have to get real detailed and pinpointed because what are you specializing in? Piano, guitar, voice, saxophone, band, theory, and then are you doing classical? Are you doing jazz? I mean, those are two different worlds too. Sure. So it gets really specific. That's the mm-hmm. word I'm looking for. It gets really specific. And so I went in and started to, because I played piano since I was 7. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I would just go in and see if I was good enough. Yeah. You know, I didn't know. And the more that I played piano, they asked me to accompany some of the singers. And I thought, well, I want to sing. And I had done a few musicals when I was in junior high. But I had never took voice lessons or anything. Right. And I thought, well, I'm not really a singer. I'm more of a piano player. But I really wanted to sing. I just really, really mm-hmm. wanted to. So I auditioned for the class and I got in. And I auditioned for the chorus and I got in. And I'll never forget my first voice class.
Yeah.
I was terrified. Like leg shaking, anxiety attack, you know, the whole mm-hmm. thing when you have to get up and perform, which is why I love to teach beginners because I know that feeling of having to get through that so that you can be successful. And it was successful. I remember saying, I will do this until somebody tells me I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I trust them, you know, not just anybody. Like, oh, you shouldn't do this.
But. You know, there's a common theme. Is like Jason and I, we've had, you know, like Matthew in, and he's talking about like that science phobia. I don't know chemistry. I'm petrified. We've had Wesley Perkins in for math. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Is there a music? Is it the same thing that people just think I, you know, that terror that comes with just singing? Like, we all have a natural singing voice, don't we? That can be trained. Maybe it won't, maybe not be Pavarotti, but it's that we all could be, you know, kind of be musicians, I guess, way of saying it.
Absolutely. You're exactly saying it. And that's what I put on my flyer for Lion as I'm trying to build the choir back again here.
This is a marketing guy.
I know. And I said it on Saturday too. And so please join choir. It is a welcoming environment where, you know, I understand how difficult it could be to think you're a singer, and cross that barrier, because so many people, when I say, do you want to join choir? And they say, well, I don't sing.
Yeah.
So my, on the flyer I put, if you can talk, you can sing.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And it's true. Mm-hmm. And this is the analogy that I use. I say, well, it's the same thing as, walking and running. If you can walk, you can run. So there's going to be some people who can run marathons until they're 60 or 70, because that's just how they are. They have better DNA, or their genes are better. Their joints don't hurt. Yeah. But and there's going to be people who walk, you know, like me, where, you know, I walk fast. And you might see me around campus and I'll look really silly, but I don't want to hurt my joints. So I don't run anymore, but I want to get the exercise. Yeah. So there's that. And then there's people who can jog 3 miles, or my son just told me he went on a nice little jog and it was 15 miles the other day. And I was like, nice little jog. Okay.
Well, nice to be young.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you have the Brendan Connells of the world who do a nice little jog of 100 miles, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So there's the point is there's so many levels. So it's the same thing. If you can talk, then you can sing at some level, and let's find out what that level is, and I'll help you get better, because I've done it for 23 years.
At a human level, what does that do for somebody that all of a sudden now it's like, I'm creating music. There must be just something that will, you know, just lift someone up where they think, I'm not a musician. Almost everybody loves music of some sort or another. And now all of a sudden I'm creating music myself, being in a choir or whatever it is. Do you see that, or how do you explain all that?
Yeah. Well, there's many levels.
Yes.
So when you say that, my mind goes to 100 different places, because I could say, I see that every day, people getting more confident in music and especially singing. And I always I had one boss when I was the artistic director at, a trauma-informed care center for a decade, and I was doing music, and I said, my job isn't to teach music. My job is to build confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And through the building of confidence, the music will come out.
Right.
And especially, in that environment where, students come into that environment, they've lost all hope for their lives. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to be able to start teaching them the circle of fifths. Although I have some beautiful, beautiful stories, success stories. I had two students who I can still see to this day who excelled musically. And when they first came, could barely lift their head up off the table.
Yeah.
And then one ended up getting a scholarship for music at a college, which didn't always happen that these students would even graduate, much less go to college. Yeah. And then to actually go to college and study music, it was
Well, and it's transcended, you know, because that confidence, I'm sure, carried over into all other aspects of their life, you know, that, that you know, I accomplished this, you know, something I'm proud of, and that, and they carry it, you know, and, you know, just their relationships and everything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, the reason that it touches me and my heart, my soul, is because I also had that journey.
Yeah.
I was always a musician.
Right.
And I always knew piano. And like I said on Saturday, at the 12-hour podcast, that the piano became my friend throughout my childhood.
Right.
And it was a way to express that which I couldn't articulate and express through words.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me through the challenges of childhood. And I am so grateful for that. But at the same time, where was I going with this? I think that it's almost like an extension of yourself. So like, Billy Joel just did a documentary, or that he just had a documentary that came out, and he said at the very end, and it's a great documentary if you have time to watch it, but I love the quote that he said at the end, and it was so powerful, and he said, music saved my life.
Yeah.
And I feel that in my life, but not only my life, but in so many students that I have seen over the years. And it doesn't have to be a great, big, dramatic, life-saving experience. It could be just, when this student who came to the high school and he didn't speak for a year.
Yeah.
And he picked up the guitar and he started carrying it around because I said, you want to try guitar? And here, take it with you. And I saw him carry it around, and then he started playing it. And he said he started to speak again. And the first thing he said to me was, I love the guitar so much. It's like having therapy whenever you want it.
Wow. Now, is this with your time at the trauma center, is this kind of where you're relating?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that's not the average high school. Sure. That was an at-risk high school. So there were some heavier, more traumatic students, that heavier meaning emotionally, who I got to watch heal through music. I had the corner music building,
right,
or classroom, and they would find their way to me. And I never knew who I was going to get, who would wander in my doors, who would hear something and come in and just kind of sit and be curious.
Right.
Right. And once you saw that curiosity in their eyes, you knew that they were coming alive again.
Yeah.
You were giving them hope.
Now, could they be lifted up just by listening, or versus like creating music themselves?
Both.
Yeah.
So we would do all kinds of different activities to bring. Sometimes we would just listen to different music, or I'd ask them, because they had all different kinds of cultural backgrounds. So I would ask them, you know, what's your favorite song? We play it.
Yeah.
And then I'd watch them light up, and I'd watch them say all the words to something I had no idea. Right.
Yeah.
And they would just light up. And it was a way into their lives that allowed a relationship to form between us. And then there were things that were more technical, like, I would do a rhythm exercise to start the day off. Every day we would start with this, I would put it up on the screen and it would be, you know, the notes going past and I would just get them. Nobody could read music to start with and they would see them. They wouldn't know, but we would clap and we would get into it. And at first I could still picture them just, oh, we're doing this again. Oh, this again. And do we have to do this every day? Yes. Yes. We have to do it every day. Come on, you know, you got this. And I would give them drums or maracas or tambourines or whatever. And we would do it every day. And it would last about 10 minutes. And it'd be the same thing because it was just rhythm.
Right.
And acknowledging what that simple beat, what it looked like in musical notation. But it was very simple. It was not complex. And then they would get used to that. And one time I remember I forgot. I took roll, did my thing, and I went on. And I completely forgot about doing it. And one of them, I could still see him. And he said, "Miss, we didn't do our rhythm today."
Oh, there you go.
I thought, oh, we didn't. And he was like, "Let's do it."
Yeah.
And then he helped me pass out all the instruments and get it going. And that was like, it was one of those moments that just kind of stood out. Okay, so this is making a difference. Because you always hope that it is. And I know that it is. But it'll show itself in different ways, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, several of the students had ADHD or ADD, either one, and it was hard for them to concentrate or focus.
Right.
And students that have dealt with a lot of trauma in their lives have a hard time concentrating and focusing. Yeah. So you have to approach it differently. And so we would listen sometimes to some really calming music. If you go on YouTube, you can research like music for meditation at 800 hertz or 500 hertz, and it will bring up kind of like a with a pitch in the back, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, I do this at night a lot because it just helps me.
Yeah.
You know, calm down from the day. And it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
So easy to do. And I would do it all the time. And in fact, I created a program for the entire school. So the whole school was doing it every Monday. We'd start the whole school day with music Monday meditation. And I would send a link to all the teachers. Mm-hmm. And because we had kind of like a homeroom type check-in advisory, check-in, how you doing? How's everybody doing? You know, what we all had a number, like, I'm feeling 8 today out of 10 or 5 today out of 10, you know, just how are we feeling today? And so this was part of that every Monday.
Yeah.
Where the way that we would do it is you put your feet flat on the floor.
All right.
I'm going to give a little demonstration here because it's important to have the right posture, the right frame of mind while you're doing this. But if you put on that relaxing music and you start to kind of breathe with it and you close your eyes and your feet are flat on the floor, you're going to envision the breath when you breathe in through your nose. You're going to envision that it's coming through your feet, up your legs, all the way up to above your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hold for about 4 counts, and I'll do this in a minute. And then on the out breath, it could be through your mouth or your nose. It doesn't matter, but it has to be longer than the in breath.
Yeah.
And so I always say you go down and out your heart. So you're blowing it.
Okay.
You're blowing it out. So there's a visualization of air coming up, holding down and out. And that's going to get you connected to the sound. And then all of a sudden, you can feel when you, or at least I should say, because I don't know how anybody else feels, but I can feel when I've gotten to that space.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can feel I'm there. Like, all right, I can feel my nervous system calming down, and I can feel, it's an expansive feeling. And I know that that is a place of where I can think clearly, where I can operate, where I can continue with my day, where I feel maybe the word safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe feeling. And what I would always tell my students is that it's always available to you, this this space that you can create. And sometimes we think that we don't have control in our lives. People are telling us what to do, all the to go here, do this, do that. And you think you've lost, you don't have control or autonomy over your sense of well-being. Right. And I try and show them and convince them
just to draw from within.
Well, absolutely. Just find places. This is not something that you have to go join a spa to do. This is, you know, it doesn't cost anything. Yeah. Just, and you can even do it without the music. You don't have to have the music. You can just, the counting that I like to do is you breathe in for four and then you hold for four and then you exhale for six. And that works for me.
Yeah.
So, and my students seem to have liked.
I picked up on it a couple years ago from a podcast, you know, that's kind of, but it was about breathing and mostly about breathing through your nose and how people just don't really utilize that enough and just how important it is and just, they talked about just all the things just from anthropology and how humans have developed and how they created this breathing through their mouth primarily and it's just inefficient in many ways. And so I ended up getting like the mouth tape. Have you ever seen that? Oh goodness, I was trying to just think of all these ways I consciously, when I go to sleep, it's the same thing to, and then, when you were talking about that, it was like, oh yeah, that's exactly it's like that calming, exercise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know, I think I can't remember myself too, but I was exploring whoever that person was who did the note, talked about how important breathing was. And I remember it was either my dad or it was my brother who sent me a link. And I remember thinking, that's it. I'm going to nose breathe. I got to do this. I have to do it. And it 100% helped.
Right.
And so then I brought into my class, because I always would do breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. But then I started saying, no, let's try breathing in through your nose and then out through your nose. And I mean,
what's the proper breathing for singing?
So that's different.
Okay. All right. No, really.
But it's good to be able to be comfortable breathing in through your nose because, you do have to do that when you are singing. But the singer's breath is so much lower and supportive. And you'll hear terms like breath support. Mm-hmm. And I'm teaching a voice class right now that's been so much fun because the students are really learning about how low the breath actually needs to come from in order to be able to sing high successfully without it being strained.
Yeah, which you get nodes, I guess. That's the downside.
You don't want to get that. And you can hear even in my voice that I've been talking and teaching all day. So, your vocal cords get, and when I'm teaching, I'm also demonstrating singing. So I have to sometimes be careful that, I'm not overdoing it, but because you only have two vocal folds and that's all you have.
Well, we got the circle of fifths.
Yes.
And now two vocal folds. Okay.
Folds, vocal cords.
Yes.
Some people call them vocal cords but they're actually vocal folds.
Right.
If you look at them, you'll see, if you look at them under the microscope, right, you know. I mean, really, you're like, oh, that's what's in there. And I tell my students too that if you took your vocal folds out and you put it in your hand, it would be about the size of a dime.
Wow.
And they're very small, and you put it right there, and that's all you have. Yeah. So, you know, if you are serious about your singing and you want to really take care of your vocal health, then you should definitely not be a smoker.
Right.
You should drink lots of water. Teas, hot teas and honey are so good. So good. Don't yell and scream. So don't go to any football games. I'm just kidding. But you know, you want to take care of them,
right,
so that you have them for a lifetime, because you can tell, especially as we age, right? Mm-hmm. So
why are you looking at me when you?
Yeah, because I can't look at Jason. Okay. He doesn't know what I'm talking about when right, I when I right. say
I'm not aged.
Fair enough.
You're not aged. Yeah, we have to. You know, it's at this age where it starts to show.
Yes.
If you haven't taken care of your vocal cords when you hit, you know, middle age, it's going to start to show that. And that's why people get raspy voices. Smokers, especially if they've been smoking their whole lives,
right?
It starts to show.
Yeah. So when you're at the high school, then what was the next step? So, like, as far as your career journey, did you end up in teaching at the college level?
So I was, I started right out of my master's degree. I started adjunct at the Santa Rosa Junior College. And I went back to where I was and I taught voice 101, I think it was. And I had two classes. And then I also taught inside my home in a private studio. And I had just had my daughter.
Yeah.
So, but again, this was Santa Rosa in the 2000s.
Right.
And then I had my son shortly after, and becoming a mother, which was the greatest journey ever. And the thing I am most proud of above everything, of them. And, but it was difficult to manage, being a mother of two babies under two and my own music business and teaching at the adjunct. And, then my husband was working, you know, full time. And so I took a little break, and then when I went back, they had started to cut the music program.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So that's when it started, right? And my daughter was two and my son was a baby.
Yeah.
And it was sad, because it was where I wanted to be to bring back music. Because I had just graduated from the Conservatory of Music in San Francisco, and I was so excited to move back to Santa Rosa from San Francisco, and I swore I'd never leave San Francisco, because it was in the 1999. It was so beautiful living there. Yeah. For 2 years. But I did, and I moved back to Santa Rosa to be in that community. But getting back to the high school for at-risk youth, it was that experience that led me to pursue my doctorate, which I just completed 2 years ago. So I knew I had to bring something to the table in music. And from what I was, what I've always felt my whole life,
right.
What I had seen, especially in that decade, because I learned so much, not only about education and trauma,
right,
and what it does to people. But I also learned so much about myself, mm-hmm, as an educator. And so that's when I decided to pursue my doctorate online, through Grand Canyon University, which was an excellent program. I really enjoyed it. And I did my dissertation on music and how it influences your well-being.
Oh.
And so that year that I wrote my you write your dissertation, it takes longer than a year, but you dedicate a year just to that, and yeah, you're not taking classes anymore. Right. And it was the best, most interesting, fun, fulfilling experience to have done that. I just had wished that I also didn't have to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there wasn't enough hours in the day, but it came together. It came together. And, you know, I just learned so much about, what I already knew.
Right.
But at the same time, it was enlightening, because it was like they were saying what I've known for myself, what I've witnessed in, mm-hmm, students, and what I wanted to be able to express to people with some validity, yeah, because I did a study on this, and this is, right, this is not me just saying, oh yeah, music is, mm-hmm, creates well-being. It's, no, it really does.
When you defended your thesis, did you have to sing it?
Oh, the thing is, I would have been so much less nervous if I had to sing. All right. If I had to sing, my defense, I would have been so much more comfortable.
There you go.
but no, I was not able to sing it, unfortunately. But I would have really enjoyed, yeah, that.
Yes. So you're now here at Lion. And, mm-hmm, so kind of, we've talked about trying to build the choir, kind of what classes are you teaching? Kind of, you have like kind of short-term, midterm objectives in terms of what you want to do here at Lion with our music program?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So right, when I applied for the job, and I was so excited, this is my first full-time college position. I had always taught adjunct and high school.
Mm-hmm.
And after I went to the trauma informed, I went to the other side of socioeconomic class, and I went and I taught for 3 years at a private Catholic high school, and I did work there before coming here.
All right.
So that experience was wonderful, but I knew that I always wanted to teach college,
mm-hmm,
music.
Yeah.
Full time. And that just wasn't happening,
yeah,
where I was. So I said, I'm going to start applying outside of California. And so I did. And then I was so happy to come to Lion. Right. And I've loved it here. It's been such a smooth transition, and people are incredible and nice. So my vision and my hope is to bring the choir back again, because, yes, for 1 year, the choir director left last year. And so the program dissipated.
Right.
And they had to wait a year to rehire. And so during that time, Mr. Christian also came last year and started with the bands, and the choir director left, and he was so wonderful to keep the music program, at least, mm-hmm, alive with the band and the orchestra, and that, and history is his strength. And so they were looking for somebody to complement what he could bring to the table. And so when I met with him, our strengths were so opposite that it was the perfect match.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not strong in what he does, and he is not, or didn't want to do, or isn't, that's not his strength in what I bring to the table musically. So again, we're both strong musicians, but what we do is so different. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect example of how many different avenues you can go with music. But so I am right now, I'm bringing the music program back. So I have, I'm teaching six classes and like everything. Six. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's a,
that's the overload.
It's the overload. But that's not sustainable. Right. So it's just to get the classes back, right, to let people know that music is here. And you can now take music appreciation. You can take music theory. These are all the classes I teach.
Yeah.
You can take musicianship, which is the paired class to music theory. Voice class, which gives you the basic fundamentals of singing, and choir, and piano class.
All right.
I teach class piano because you have to take 2 years of piano no matter what major you have, because the piano is the basis for all music theory.
Right.
So the major requires that you take 2 years. Right. So I'm teaching all those classes right now, but we just hired a wonderful Dr. Sky Hart to adjunct. He's the accompanist for the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's a piano organ master, and he's going to accompany our choirs. And also he's adjunct to take the advanced piano students.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hope is to be able to veer me into more just voice and choir.
Right.
And so we're going to just build it right back up.
You know, with this being a podcast on careers,
yes,
you know, what advice would you give to a student that wants to be a music major? Because, you know, you readily admit, you know, there's some real challenges to music, but mm-hmm. the world does need music teachers, music majors. So what advice would you give them?
Yes. And I am still optimistic, especially after coming to Arkansas and seeing a state that is thriving mm-hmm. musically. And I'm not just saying that. I actually went to the conference the first week I was here. I moved, and then I went right to Little Rock and did the choir conference of all the K-12 educators in one place. And I shed a tear in that conference because everyone in the room was thriving, working full time. Like, just music was so alive here.
Yeah.
And, it's just a heartfelt moment.
Right.
And I know music is needed now more than ever in our society, and with all the uncertainties that are happening and the fears, and there's so much anxiety and mm-hmm. battling, and the one thing that can bring us all together is music. So I am very optimistic and will always steer people to continue to major in music and have a career. You can, like I was saying, here's just three examples of Mr. Christian, myself, and Dr. Hart, who all have college degrees in music, but we all do completely different things.
Sure.
And so there's so many avenues. You can mm-hmm. go performance,
right?
Which is what I did, but my life went into teaching direction because I love teaching so much. And now it fulfills me more than any performance could.
Mm-hmm.
But you still could get a performance degree and then perform.
Right.
You can still teach, and it's not going away completely everywhere. It's just there are some states that are suffering. Yeah. And it's still a beautiful path, and it's one where the connection with your students is, there's an exchange mm-hmm. of, I think, more than just knowledge happening in those musical lessons.
Right.
So I encourage people to still go for the teaching career in music. Mm-hmm. You'll find it. You'll find it. And, yeah. and it's needed. And there's also the technical side. So like, well, Jason's doing all of this, but you can be that person in music. Studio. So yeah. you have so many ways to create music now. I even made my own CD, you know, mm-hmm. on GarageBand, which was even, I think, 10 years ago that I did it. And it's even excelled since then. But I had lots of students right. record their own. We had a little recording studio where they could record. They like to rap and they like to do things, and we would record them. And so if you are an engineer, a music mm-hmm. tech engineer person, there's a whole world for you in that. There's you can be somebody who writes music, a composer. So you can write music for... Okay, let's go way up here. You can write for movie right. scores, right? I mean, and it doesn't have to be Hollywood. I mean, you can find little Sundance festivals or, sure. you know, movies that need background music or just videos that need background music or
well, my whatnot. My nephew was he was a commercial artist, you know, him and his wife out of Portland and it was a really real nice music scene there. And it's mm-hmm. just so hard to
he made our intro.
Yeah. Our intro to this is his. Yeah.
Oh, that's and, so great.
Yep. Okay. And
a little catchy intro.
Yeah.
It is really catchy. Actually.
Yeah. No,
it transitions so beautifully. Into
oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, and I remember one of the more lucrative things that he had was getting picked up by commercials and by like TV shows that would just have like the music is kind of like to set the mood or the backdrop. And mm-hmm. yeah, and I was his father, you know, my brother-in-law's a CPA and he was kind of the manager. So yeah, their best payoff from a commercial was some pasta company in Italy. What? How they even picked it up, who knows? But they ran it. The commercial was successful, ran for a while, and yeah, that was something that worked out for him. And but commercial, you know, making it in the music business is just so darn hard.
It is yeah. hard, and I would say, if you like to teach music, and I know people always say, you know, try to get that, right. but fall back on the teaching. And it, right. and for me, it's kind of what happened, but my fallback is my,
yeah,
it turned out to be
the real love,
yeah. love. Yeah. And you definitely shouldn't teach if it's not in your heart, right. but there, if you love it, like go for the gold.
Yeah.
But still, pass your knowledge on to your students.
Right.
And I feel like you'll still find joy in that. I do believe, and I hold high hope for, that there will always be a need. There will always be a need mm-hmm. for, music teachers to lead, to be role models. To my role model was, and he was at the Santa Rosa JC, and we called him Doc, and he was Dr. Spranger, and he was there forever. And the amount of students that went through him and did music because he was so, so influential on our young lives. Mm. And I'm thinking of the crew right now. And this was, you know, 30 years ago.
Wow.
Don't get that with AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get that. And I have to believe that will never die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it will. Yeah. So if you want to major in music, be confident, that there are places, there are enough places like Arkansas where music is wonderful, is thriving, and there's opportunity and exchange, and people still know the importance of humanity, human to human, the well-being that you get from the relationships and the connections you make through music.
Wonderful. Well, I guess one last thing, and this is kind of a reunion of sorts, that Bethany and I, as new faculty, we decided that we were going to get into the Lion Raft Race. And and so, you know, we went put the, you know, and all you have is cardboard and duct tape. And that would go, we can handle that. And so we arrive at the race. And maybe it was a little foreboding because people kept commenting that your ratio of cardboard to duct tape seemed incredibly high. And I didn't quite put that together until we were in the middle of Bryan Lake.
Yeah, it needs to do about 80%
till we were sinking. Till we were sinking in the lake.
You need about 80-20 on that.
And
yeah, we didn't when we were
nobody gave us that
it,
memo.
Nobody gets any memos though, let's be real. Well, I mean the students kind of do.
No, the students knew. Well, like the they always do. They always know.
Yeah, the thing is the core some of the core 100 people are like the, you know, student teachers, whatever they're called, helpers. Yeah. They're smart enough to know, like, cuz they did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like faculty don't get that.
No, and so we
No, and we were proud of our boat when we made it. We were proud of it until we came out and saw the students' boats. Or rafts.
Sometimes the students go a little too crazy.
Yeah.
And I think they cheat.
World's ugliest boat.
There's been a lot of accusations about using waterproof duct tape, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
No, we didn't have any of that. But you know what? I feel like if we hadn't got stuck in the beginning, I feel like we would have made it. We did so good.
Yeah, it was just we couldn't get it. Yeah, but yeah, we made it exactly to the middle. It disintegrates, and then we got to swim.
And then we had to swim in the lake, which was
I heard it. Does it smell?
Yes.
Smell. Oh, yeah. It's truly awful.
I went out and I tried to hug people. I don't know why they didn't want to hug me after that.
and we're like a, you know, bacteria sponge. Oh,
it was so gross, but it was worth it.
It was worth it
because we have that memory now.
Yes, we do.
Forever. Yep, and I knew it was going to be you and me in that boat.
We went out and sank together.
We did. We did. While the rest of our team stayed on the shore and waved at us.
Indeed. Well, it's a great way to close. Thank you, Bethany.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here at Lion. So
we're happy to have you.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're always happy to have all of our listeners and watchers of the Career Pathways podcast. So we have a couple more new faculty members coming up. So please stay tuned to that. And we never, ever can close out the podcast without producer Jason giving you the wise words on where you can find the Career Pathways podcast. Jason, what say you?
I think you guys could have needed some of this when you guys fell in the lake.
Yes.
You can find the Career Pathways podcast on 99.97% of platforms, the same number of germs that get killed with Germex.
There you go.
You guys needed a little scrub, I suppose, after that. So,
yep. A full dousing. But again, thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Bethany. Yeah. And thank you, all the listeners and watchers. And, you know, please like, subscribe, you know, for the podcast. And we'll catch up with you again on another episode. Thanks again. Bye.
This broadcast is sponsored in part by Lion College and by Kilt Studios.